Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to living more like Christ. This is the Christ that some people don't believe really existed. Or others might give him the credit of being a historical figure, but God-man? No way. Some will say he was a good religious figure, and they believe in Christianity, but many Christians don't know really what it means to follow this Christ. And so we want to make a case. Today we have with us well-known guest Lee Strobel. He's written a lot of books with the phrase, a case for around them, and especially there's a book called The Case for Christ, which is coming out also as a movie. Lee, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Bill. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, do you mind, let's first think about the movie that's coming up. Who would be the typical audience member that you would envision coming to see The Case for Christ?
Well, I see Christians coming to it, and many of them have read the book and are interested in understanding better why we believe what we believe. And the movie really tells my story of having been an atheist and being challenged by the conversion of my wife, Leslie, to first try to disprove Christianity, but ultimately coming to believe that it's true based on the resurrection of Jesus. So especially with Easter coming up, when sometimes we're interested in, you know, how do we know that Jesus really did return from the dead? I think Christians will come to the film and they'll walk away more motivated to share Jesus with others and also understanding better, right, the evidence for the resurrection. But at the same time, I think they're going to think of four or five people in their own life who they'd like to invite back to the film. A cousin or a friend or a spouse or a neighbor or a colleague or a fellow student, someone who is spiritually curious or spiritually confused. The movie provides a great journey for them to go on to look at the evidence for the resurrection and a great fodder for subsequent conversations that you can have after the movie to talk about spiritual matters. So I really see both Christians and non-Christians benefiting from the film. In fact, we're going to post at our website, thecaseforchristmovie.com, a little video I did on how to invite someone to the movie and also how to have a conversation afterward so that they can use this movie as part of their efforts to reach someone with the gospel.
What do you hope would be that? What would that conversation look like, in your own words, even now? If someone's, they're driving home, they've seen the movie, what do you hope they'd be talking about?
Yeah, I hope there'll be. I hope the Christian will be asking more questions than anything else. That will be asking more questions and making statements. And I think questions like, which character did you relate to? Could you relate to the atheist? Could you relate to Leslie? Who could you relate to? And that'll be interesting to try to determine where they're at. To ask, what did they think of the evidence that was talked about? Did they find it interesting? Did they find it provocative? Did they find it convincing? What do they think of who Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? What do you believe he is? Have you ever done what Lee did and investigate Christianity? And, of course, it's a great opportunity then to give them a copy of my book, The Case for Christ, because that's a 300-page book that goes into much more detail with interviews with 13 major scholars from great institutions with PhDs from Oxford and Cambridge and Yale and so forth, talking about in everyday terms the evidence for Jesus being the Son of God. So that'd be a good time to kind of give them that as a gift, as a next step. So I'd want to ask them, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 0 is a hardened atheist, if 10 is a fully devoted follower of Jesus, if 5 is someone who's just coming across the line of faith, where would you say you are? What number would you give yourself? Surprisingly, people love that little exercise, especially non-believers. They'll say, oh, I'm a 4, or I'm a 2, or I'm a 0. And that kind of helps in terms of positioning them in our minds in terms of how receptive they might be.
Lee, there may be some listening who don't really know the backstory, and everyone else, I'm sure, with me would be interested to hear an answer to this whole topic. Let's talk about how you first came to write the book, The Case for Christ.
Well, it was many years, actually, after I came to faith. that I decided at Leslie's suggestion that maybe I should do a book on this. It was my journey took place over 2 years. I was a legal editor of the Chicago Tribune with degrees in journalism and legal studies. So I had a very analytical kind of approach to life, very interested in evidence and what it shows and what it doesn't show. So that two-year investigation took place and culminated with me being convinced that the evidence, especially for the resurrection of Jesus, was far compelling enough to convince me that he did rise from the dead and thus establish and prove that he is the Son of God. And so I came to faith based on that, based on reading John 1:12 that says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name." Mm-hmm. So that equation, believe plus receive equals become, which we talk about in the movie, really is helpful, I think, for a lot of people, because there are a lot of people who believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, but they've never received him as their Lord and Savior. And so we want to say believing's great. You know, if you believe the Apostles' Creed, that's terrific. But there has to be a moment when we receive this free gift of grace that Jesus is offering us. And when we do that, then we become a child of God. And so that was the moment that I came to faith. And it was several years later that Leslie said to me, you know, why don't you write a book about this? And I thought, no, nobody's interested in that. And the truth was that these kind of books didn't sell and publishers weren't interested, except Zondervan, the publisher who took a flyer on it, and by God's grace, it's gone all around the world now. And as an evangelist, I'm just thrilled with all the emails and tweets and notes that I get with people where God has used the book to help lead them to faith.
That is so exciting. So you wrote this first book, and from that flowed like a river, a number of books, giving the case for Christianity in all of its facets. The case for faith, the case for a real walking relationship with Jesus Christ, some of the great books in apologetics. You have done such a good job, Lee, in interviewing top experts and pulling information together in a way that's digestible for the average person and very comprehensive. I just congratulate you and thank you for all of your hard work. Now, someone may wonder, okay, the other books, they open with a sense that they came out of your conversion experience, and yet they were written later. Is this a game we're playing? I'm guessing, and I'm sorry, I don't see it that way, but I'm guessing what happened was you collected all this data that convinced you to have faith in those first couple of years, but to assemble it into books took time. It was several books to explain the one experience. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. It when I did this investigation, I wasn't planning to write a book or anything about it. It was just for my own curiosity and, frankly, to rescue Leslie out of this Christian cult that I thought she was in. So, you know, when I did this investigation, I wasn't keeping tape-recorded interviews with scholars, and I wasn't taking comprehensive notes. I was just getting answers to my questions. So then later, when Leslie said, "Why don't you do a book?" I thought, you know what? Let me get the freshest possible information. Let me do these tape-recorded conversations where I can go in depth. And so that's what launched me to travel 20,000 miles around the country to interview experts on the various aspects of Jesus' life and teachings and miracles and death and resurrection. And so that way I could do the book that was up to date. And in fact, we just came out with now the first updated and expanded edition of the book with even fresher information, a new chapter, new archaeological discoveries and so forth. And the movie edition of that is just now coming out so that people can get kind of a fun movie edition. It has some insight about the movie as well. But in the book, I make it clear and I say, you know, I'm retracing and expanding on my original investigation. And so I make it clear that these interviews that I did for the book came subsequent to my conversion, although during my investigation, I did talk to a lot of scholars. I did read their books. I did study archaeology and ancient history and so forth. So I did that investigation. But in order to make the book comprehensive and current, I thought it was important to get really in-depth, systematic, fresh interviews.
And so how soon is the movie The Case for Christ coming to theaters near to us?
Well, it'll be out nationwide on April the 7th, which is the week before Easter. So it's a great opportunity not only to invite someone to see this film, but also then to invite them to Easter services at your church. And then we just are announcing now that there's going to be what's called a Fathom event. And that's going to be on April the 6th, the day before the release. There's going to be selected theaters around the country. that will show it live with an interview with me and Leslie and some of the cast members as a special preview event on April the 6th. So that's a Fathom event, and people can go to their website, fathomevents.com, and get the information about how they can participate in that event and have that live Q&A that'll take place after you see the movie.
Lee, do you have other suggestions as we have this great opportunity ahead of us for, it might be a person or a group or a whole church, how can they best utilize this opportunity with the movie coming out to maybe get conversations started and so forth?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, PureFlix is making the film and Outreach, which is handling the church resources. I've just done a great job, first in producing an entertaining and compelling and powerful film. I'm so proud of the movie. I've seen it now several times, and it just, my wife keeps watching. She's watched it six times, and I said, why do you keep watching it? She said, because I want to get cried out. I don't want to cry in public when I see it in public. And, of course, the movie's emotional for us because it tells our story and the difficulties in our marriage that happened when I was the atheist and she was the Christian. You know, there are great ways that churches can leverage this. We have a small group curriculum that people can use after the film comes out to take some friends on a journey with clips from the movie and a discussion guide to have conversations and a four-week experience, a small group experience. We've got a four-week series that churches can do, including clips from the movie, and we have some sample sermons to give them some ideas. We've got booklets that are very inexpensive that churches can give away on the top 20 questions about Jesus. Lots of stuff. And if they go to our main website is thecaseforchristmovie.com, and that's a great place to go just for general information about the film. And then for pastors and church leaders, they can go to outreach.com/CaseForChrist. And there you'll see all the resources that are available to really take this and help this Easter be the most fruitful Easter in our churches. You know, it's a great way to start the Easter season with a movie based on the resurrection that will intrigue and encourage and interest people, and then to follow it up then with our Easter services where, you know, the gospel is always preached clearly and powerfully and persuasively and passionately, that we might see many come to faith this Easter season.
Hmm. I can see with a movie like this, Christians coming out in big numbers, and obviously the hope is that they bring those who don't yet know the Lord. They need to hear that there is a case for this Christ.
Yeah.
Do you feel this movie will it be really effective in reaching across the aisle to those skeptics?
Absolutely. You know, years ago when Christian films first started, some of them were kind of cheesy, some of them kind of made you cringe a little bit. They've come a long way. I mean, this film is amazing. We have Academy Award winners in this film. We have Tony Award winners in this film. We have Academy Award nominees in this film. This is a great cast of actors and actresses, a terrific script by Brian Bird, great directing by John Gunn. And, you know, apart from anything else, it's just a very entertaining movie. You know, it's a love story between Leslie and me. It's a father-son story about a difficult relationship with my dad that kind of opened the door to atheism for me. It's about a big city newspaper and what that's like back in the heyday of journalism in the 1980s. It's about a case that I investigated where police had framed an innocent man for a shooting he didn't commit. It's all based on true story. And most of all, though, it's a spiritual journey. And you'll see experts interviewed about the evidence for the resurrection. And, you know, the movie culminates. I don't want to give too much away, but I'll put it this way. People will hear the gospel in a very crystal clear way. And they'll hear that equation from John 1:12, believe plus receive equals become. And my bet is there are going to be a lot of people who walk in who think they're Christians, but they're not born again. They've never really received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But they're going to see my story, and they're going to say, I need that in my life. I think that's what's missing. That's why God seems distant from me, because I don't really know him personally. I've never really met him personally. And that believe plus receive equals become equation, I think, will prompt a lot of people to say, I need to pray and receive this free gift of grace, this gift of forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus purchased for me on the cross when he died as my substitute to pay for all of my sin. And when we do that, not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, but because of God's grace, then we become a child of God.
If you're just tuning in, we have with us guest Lee Strobel. We're talking about this man who's written books, for example, the well-known and much-read Case for Christ. This book is now being featured with a movie coming out in early April, and we want to encourage everyone listening to come. Bring your friends. This is going to impact not just the believer to have a better case for Christ, a better ability to talk about your faith, but the unbeliever. What a great tool, what a great opportunity. Lee, if I can press this on, I know that you were involved at Willow Creek Community Church at one point in your life, and it made a mark in your life that comes out in a movie. Now, you could have just sort of shown a generic church, not mentioned the church or the pastor, but you got specific. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, because I really, am grateful how God used Bill Hybels and Willow Creek Church to reach me with the gospel. I mean, that was back in the day, back in 1980, when, you know, walking into a church as an atheist was a frightening experience. I mean, it was a completely different culture and nothing I would have done on my own. But here was a church that said, we want to reach out to non-believers. We want to do a service that they could understand, that speaks their language, but doesn't compromise on the gospel. And so I came and I heard the gospel declare the first day I was there, January the 20th of 1980. Heard Bill Hybels give a crystal clear gospel message, and here I was, almost 30 years old. I'd never heard it, and nobody had ever explained it to me. And I got it. I didn't believe it, but I got it, and that was when I started my investigation into the evidence for the faith, ended up coming to faith, and then, in God's great sense of humor, leaving my journalism career, which I loved, and coming full-time on the staff of Willow Creek, and actually being in a small group with Bill Hybels and on the management team of Willow Creek Church, founding member, board member of the Willow Creek Association, over, 1,100, thousands of churches that are part of that, all with a desire to reach non-believers with the uncompromised gospel in a way that they can get it, in a way they can understand it. So I wanted to honor the church in that way, and we actually have an actor who looks quite a bit like Bill Hybels did back in 1980, and he's shown baptizing my wife, Leslie, and it's quite an emotional scene. Of course, at the time, I wasn't too happy about it.
So the movie is going around the country. Is it going into other countries?
Yes, it'll be international in distribution. Okay. All that's worked out after the initial run here in the United States, but certainly to England and the UK, to Europe, to New Zealand and Australia, to South Africa, English-speaking countries for sure. We're doing a Spanish version. There's quite a Hispanic element to the movie. We have Latinos who play a couple of the key characters, and we'll be translating the movie into Spanish for the Spanish audience. So we really believe that, this God's got global plans for this message to get out. You know, we're excited to hear what he does. You know, God does what he does. And we kind of sit back and marvel at the way he touches lives, the most unexpected people. I remember just the other day, Leslie and I were ran into a woman, and both of us had kind of a negative sense. We thought, oh, here's someone who's really far from God. Here's someone, oh my goodness. We just had that sense that she was going to be, someone very even opposed to Christianity. And then we got to know her. It turned out she was a sister in Christ. And here we had prejudged her and thought this is someone who's never come to faith just because of her appearance. And to find out she was a tender, wonderful sister in faith, I thought, shame on us for not seeing that God converts the unlikely candidates, that people probably looked at me when I was an atheist and said, there's someone who will never come to faith in Jesus, this hard-headed legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. God does what he does, and he often surprises us by bringing the most unlikely people to faith.
Yes, so true. And thank you for that answer, that this broadcast is heard by different people in different countries. And I want to encourage you, if you're hearing this and you don't see the movie coming up in April, keep an eye out. Get the book if you've not read it, The Case for Christ. Maybe talk to a local theater, say, we want this here. And so, Lee, talk to us about Brian Bird, the screenwriter. He's got a career that parallels yours, and you've got a longstanding friendship. How has he been a part of all this?
You know, Brian's a terrific guy. Came to faith as a young man. Ended up doing a lot of writing for the magazine for some Christian relief organizations. Ended up becoming the co-executive producer of Touched by an Angel, and he wrote several of those episodes. He's written 17 films, including Captive and The Last Sin Eater, and just some terrific movies. He's a great brother in Christ, and I insisted in my contract with the producer, PureFlix, that if the movie was going to be done, it had to be written by Brian. And so I sat down with him, and Leslie and I both spent many days with him talking about our lives, talking about our experiences, and he created a screenplay that it was so well done. Of course, you know, it can't be a word-for-word, you know, version of what happened, since this was a two-year investigation. That would be a long movie. There's got to be some time-shifting. There's got to be some composite characters. But it is so true to the story. And to the spirit of what happened, and some of the scenes are just like word for word that Leslie and I watch it and go, oh my goodness, how did he capture that so accurately? So when they sent the script into PureFlix, they looked at it and said, we've never seen a Christian movie like this before that puts this story, this kind of story, on the screen. It's powerful, it's persuasive, it's compelling. And Brian really captured it, and we have a great cast. Mike Vogel, who plays me, who was in The Help and Poseidon and Under the Dome TV series, just a terrific brother in Christ, just is amazing in this film. Faye Dunaway, who's Catholic, who, of course, is a Hollywood legend, winning the Academy Award and Golden Globe Awards. She plays a psychologist who I interview in my spiritual investigation. And Erica Christensen, who plays Leslie, is in, famous for her Parenthood role. She's terrific as well. So we're thrilled with what God has done with the script and with especially with the way the movie came out.
Fantastic. And you talked about it being accurate. So it trails pretty well with your story, that of your family, the book itself. Do you feel it's it does?
Fantastic. Yeah, it does. And also there's a book that Leslie and I did called Spiritual Mismatch, which is about our marriage when she was a Christian and I was the atheist, and the difficulty we had in being unequally yoked, which the Bible warns against. And we talk in that book about our lives together when she was trying to reach me. And a lot of the movies drawn from that book as well, which is a great resource, by the way, if people find themselves married to a non-believer. Now, that can be a very tumultuous time in their marriage. And we wrote Spiritual Mismatch to help them through those difficult times.
Fantastic. I've not read that book. I want to try to find that. So as the story became alive on the screen, what surprised you most?
I guess what surprised me the most was how it touched our emotions so deeply. There's the scene where I come to faith in Christ, and Leslie and I were outside the house where this was being filmed, listening on earphones and watching on a video monitor, and holding our breath because we wanted this to be authentic and real and honest. And Mike Vogel, portraying me, does such an amazing job in this role of portraying that so authentically that we were weeping. And I went up to him as he came out off the set, and I went up to him just to thank him for being honest and vulnerable and real in that scene. And I just burst into tears, and I hugged him, and I whispered in his ear, thank you, Mike, for what you did. You know, when you see your own life on the screen, it can be a surreal kind of experience, and it's very emotional at times. When we saw the scenes of Leslie and I arguing and fighting because I was opposed to her faith and wanted to get her out of Christianity, it wasn't pleasant for us to see those scenes, but they're real, they're honest, that's what happened. And it makes an entertaining story for people, I think, who I believe also will be touched emotionally as well as intellectually by the film.
Would you then say, as someone who was once an unbeliever in this Christ and the Bible, as a journalist with a degree from Yale, would you say honestly that if anybody pursues the facts and starts digging deeply, they're going to find evidence that the story of the Bible is true and that this Christ is who he claims to be?
I really believe that. I believe an honest investigation will yield that kind of result. And the Old Testament and the New Testament both say if you sincerely seek God, you're going to find him. And so, I trust that those who, with an open mind and open heart, begin this way. This is what I did. Begin this way and say, God, I do not believe you're there. In fact, I'm convinced you're not. Hmm. But if you are, I want to meet you. I want to know you. If you pray that kind of prayer, I call it the skeptic's prayer. You haven't lost anything except 15 seconds of your time. But if you honestly, sincerely believe that, God loves answering those kind of prayers. And I believe the Holy Spirit will lead you into the kind of evidence that you particularly need in the case for Christ. If you are open-hearted and open-minded about it, if you pray that kind of prayer and ask God to reveal himself to you, I believe you're going to see the evidence. And then the issue is, how are you going to respond? You know, the evidence is there, regardless of whether you believe or not. It doesn't change the evidence. It's there. So you can disbelieve it. You can choose to swim upstream against the current of evidence flowing the other direction. That just doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. What makes sense to me is we take a step of faith in the same direction the evidence is pointing and put our trust in Christ. That's logical. That's rational. But ultimately, it comes down, as John 1:12 says, to whether or not you're willing to receive Jesus as your forgiver and leader. And ultimately, I pray that everyone does.
Lee, I'd like, as we close, for you to say a prayer, even if it be short. Just pray for those who've been listening to this. They're either not enthused, they're not ready to get out and start drawing people to the theater, or they're believers, maybe they're unbelievers, who don't have any, they're just not convinced. Say a prayer for those who are listening. Do you mind?
Sure. Father, you know where each person's heart is who's listening right now. We pray for those who are believers that the film would encourage them, motivate them, inspire them, that they would use it to reach out to their friends and neighbors and colleagues and family. And for those that aren't believers, I pray that you use this film to open their eyes to the incredible range of evidence that establishes that you are who you claim to be. And that many as a result will bend their knee as I have to you as Lord and Savior. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, and I'm in agreement with that. And thank you all for listening. Do watch for the movie. And let's really get people out to the theaters and use this as an outreach opportunity. Lee, thank you so much for all that you do.
Sure thing, Bill.
And now for this opportunity.
God bless you and all your listeners.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.